Welcome to Gospel-Centered Living, the radio ministry of Christ Community Church in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like information about our church or would like to download any of our messages, our website is cccTucson.org. We hope you'll worship with us on Sunday at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. or join us on Wednesday nights at 6:30 for Bible study. We pray that today's message will help you grow in your relationship with Christ and in the knowledge of His perfect Word, the Bible. Let's join Dr. Stephen Ingino, the lead teaching pastor of Christ Community Church, for part two of this message from God's Word.
Well, Matthew tells us that the Father came and kneeled down before Jesus in desperation, Matthew 17. Luke 9 tells us that this man was the man's only son. So like many of us with needs, this man's desperate. But at least he took his desperation to Jesus. And I would say that that's the first step. Too many of us have needs, problems, trials, dreams, desires, but we keep them to ourselves. We don't take them to Jesus. Think about it. This man has been living with a trial of monumental proportions. Since his son was very little, he struggled with these serious medical and demonic issues, and yet the father hasn't given up hope. Even though the doctors couldn't help and nothing has changed for years, the father still has enough faith to see if Jesus can help. He could have wallowed in his doubt saying, I've tried everything. My son has been like this for years, day after day. What's the use? But instead, he took his doubts to Jesus. Because again, notice what the father said in Mark 9, verse 22. If you can do anything. So he has some doubts. Take pity on us and help us. But he has enough faith to pray to Jesus, to ask Jesus for help. This father is on his knees begging Jesus for help. That's prayer. And remember that connection between doubts and prayer for later. And look how Jesus responds. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Jesus basically says, what's this if you can nonsense? My ability is not the issue. The issue is your faith. I can, but can you believe? All things are possible to him who believes. Now, of course, as 1 John 5 tells us, the all things are confined to what's in God's will. This isn't a blank check as if we can say, okay, I believe, so God has to give me $1 million, and God has to heal me every time I'm sick so I never die. If I confess it, then God's obligated to do it. No, of course not. That's the New Age idea of positive confession or the law of attraction. It's a false teaching. But this is Jesus' encouragement for us to dream big, to pray big, to ask for him to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. All things are possible to him who believes. We pray your will be done, but we can ask for God to do great and mighty things, to do more than we can ever imagine. So we ask humbly, but we can ask boldly. Maybe you've heard of the acronym for FAITH. You see it on the screen. Faith asks impossible things humbly. Now there are so many nuggets here, so many important lessons. Let's go through these last few verses again, starting in verse 21, Mark 9, 21. And he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. It's often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. The father says, I have faith, but I have doubts. I believe, help my unbelief. Of course he believes. If he didn't, he wouldn't have brought his son to Jesus. But he's also aware that he has doubts. And it makes you wonder, was it because of the disciples' failure to cast out the demon that the father teetered on belief and unbelief? The father reasoned that if Jesus' followers who represented Jesus couldn't cast out the demons, then maybe Jesus couldn't. The disciples' lack of faith caused the man to doubt. So what do we learn from this? Never let people's failures diminish your faith in Christ. People will let you down. People are sinful. People make mistakes. People are unreliable and inconsistent. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13. He's faithful. He'll never fail you or forsake you. Christians will let you down. They're not perfect. They can do disappointing things. But don't look at them and then project their shortcomings onto Christ. Don't say, well, she's a hypocrite, so I won't believe in Jesus. Or he hurt my feelings, so I don't know if I can trust God. The difference between imperfect sinful man and our perfect and holy God is like night and day. Don't read people's failures into your heavenly Father. Don't let people's failures diminish your faith in Christ. That's one way we overcome doubt with faith. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, Hebrews 12. Next, notice what Jesus doesn't do or say in response to the Father. When the Father says, I do believe, help my unbelief, Mark 9:25. When Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again. After crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out. Now, what did Jesus do in response to the man's imperfect faith? He cast the demon out. What didn't Jesus do? He didn't say, you believe, help your unbelief. Where have you been? Haven't you heard about all my miracles? You know, turning water into wine, walking on water, healing the blind and the deaf, raising the dead. Didn't anyone tell you I just manifested my divine glory on the mountain, that I'm God? Listen, purify your heart, forsake all your sins, get rid of all your doubts, and once you've surrendered to me totally and can come to me with complete faith, unmixed with doubts, then I'll help your son. No, Jesus didn't say that. He could have, but he didn't. He showed grace and mercy. He responded to imperfect faith, just as he responds to us. I mean, can we ever say that we've had perfect faith in Christ? It never wavered, hour after hour, day after day, week after week, for whatever we're praying for. Can we ever say that our faith is complete and we never doubt? Just as Jesus doesn't tell us to clean up our acts before we come to him, he accepts the man's simple and even imperfect faith because he's the God of grace. The gospel isn't Jesus saying, become perfect and then I'll help you. No, it's Jesus saying, I'll help you because I know you're imperfect. The gospel isn't, if you're good enough, I'll fix you. No, it's because you can't fix yourself, in my goodness, I'll go to the cross to fix you. My help is a gift. It's not earned. See, the Bible's not a record of people who try to be good and then earn God's blessings. The Bible's a record of bad people receiving God's blessings because Christ earned them for bad people, sinners as we all are. He earned it through his life, death, and resurrection. The law tells us what God demands from us. The gospel tells us what God in Christ has done for us because we could not meet his demands. So he did it by grace. Now, that's not an excuse to remain stagnant in unbelief and to not try as a Christian to diminish doubts and magnify faith, but it reminds us that salvation from start to finish is by God's grace through the power of the cross. It's not about what we do, but what Christ has done for us. Then we respond to what he's done so that the gospel motivates our obedience. So if you have doubts, take them to Jesus. The man brought his faith and his doubts to Christ, and Christ honored his transparency. Christ responded to weak faith and a faith that asks for help with doubts. Look again at Mark 9, verse 25. When Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you deaf and mute spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again. After crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out. Now, this is one evil demon. He knew that he was going to be cast out, so he tried to do as much damage as he could before he was evicted. So he threw him into terrible convulsions. It came out. Boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, he's dead. Nice going, Jesus. Great job. Well, sometimes things get worse before they get better. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up. Or more literally, he was raised, resurrected. It's the same language that's used when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. It's the picture of the power of the age to come when Christ returns and vanquishes Satan, sin, and death. Now, whether the boy was truly dead or near death, the dethroning of Satan is always a reversal of death and the proof of Christ's ability to bring abundant and eternal life. Seeing that, that'll build your faith. And Jesus' power to deliver is amazing. This boy was demon-possessed, and now he has his mind back, his hearing, his speech back. He has his body back, his childhood back, his hopes and dreams, and the Father has seen the matchless power of Jesus Christ. The fact is, until we trust Christ to save us, until we have Jesus Christ in our life, we're in just as bad shape as the boy. I mean, without Christ, we live in the domain of death and darkness, and only Jesus can bring us from death to life. Ephesians 2 says that before Christ, we were dead in our sins and under the power of Satan, kind of like this boy. But God can save you by grace through faith in Christ. God can raise you up with Christ and give you new life. He can give you power over sin and the gift of eternal life if you trust in him, if you rely on Christ alone as your Savior and King. Well, I said this story has a lot to teach us about the tension between doubt and faith. We saw that a bit with the father saying, I believe, help my unbelief. But it's when Jesus talks with the disciples that we learn how faith can overcome doubts. Look at Mark 9:28. When he came into the house, his disciples began questioning him privately. Why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. Now, it may seem a bit strange at first that Jesus speaks about prayer as the solution, because in Matthew's gospel, Jesus talks about faith as the solution. Let's read Matthew 17, verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why can we not drive it out? And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. I believe after that, Jesus said, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. So it's easy to see how the two harmonize. And in Mark 11:24, Jesus combines the idea of faith and prayer, of believing and prayer. Look at Mark 11:24. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. See, prayer is an expression of faith. Prayer is faith turned to God. Or as one person said, prayer is faith breathing. Faith and prayer, prayer and faith, they go hand in hand. Faith expresses itself through prayer. Prayer is an expression of faith. So what's going on here? I mean, why did Jesus say all these things? Why couldn't the disciples cast the demon out? And why do we struggle with faith and doubt? Well, remember, the disciples were sent out before to cast out demons. When they came back, they were pretty full of themselves, boasting in what they accomplished, apparently forgetting who gave them the ability to do such great miracles. Then when they try here, it seems that they're relying on a formula or their own ability. They're overconfident and they can't cast the demon out. Now, to make matters worse, a few verses later in Mark 9, which is probably the equivalent of the next day, we'll read that the disciples fight over who is the greatest. So what's the problem? The disciples are arrogant. They're prideful. They're relying on their own strength or their ability or their wisdom. They didn't ask Jesus for help. They did not pray. They forgot that even though Jesus was on the mountain, he could still hear them. So they're relying on themselves. That's why they couldn't cast the demon out. And that's why we have doubts, because we're relying on ourselves too much. So if you don't remember anything else, remember this. Faith is renouncing self-sufficiency and relying on Christ's sufficiency. Now, we won't come out and say, yeah, I trust in myself. I don't need God. I can handle this. But our lack of prayer proves that that's what we really think. If we really believe what Jesus said in John 15, that without him, we can do nothing, then we'd pray more. And we'd pray about more things. We'd rely on Christ. We'd cultivate more of a dependency upon him. We let doubt run over faith, because like the disciples, we can rely on ourselves or rest on past victories instead of depending on Christ. But faith renounces self-sufficiency and relies on Christ's sufficiency. How? Through prayer. That's part of what it means to know and follow Jesus, the theme of this series. So when you doubt that God will provide for you, pray. Get in his word. Look at his promises about providing, like Matthew 6 and 7, and pray. You doubt whether God will help your marriage? Maybe it's because you're more focused on what you can do than what God can do. It sounds so simple. Pray. We've heard it 1,000 times before. But in those moments of doubt, that's when you really need to pray. You're worried about that prodigal son or daughter? What does Philippians 4 say? 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer may not even change the situation, but it will help you trust God through the journey. You doubt whether you can witness to your friend or coworker? Well, pray. The disciples prayed in Acts 4, and the Bible says in 4:31 that while they were praying, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. They prayed, then they witnessed. Faith renounces self-sufficiency and relies on Christ's sufficiency through prayer. So don't doubt, depend. The disciples doubted that they could cast out the demon because they were relying on their own strength rather than Christ. And that's why they didn't pray. They tried doing things on their own. But faith can win that tug of war when you pray. You know that tug of war between faith and doubt? Faith can win when you pray because that shows you're relying on Christ. The father had doubts, but he prayed. He asked Jesus for help with his son. Remember, he said, take pity on us and help us. So he prayed about that for help, and he asked Jesus to help him with his unbelief. The man prayed, and Jesus told the disciples they needed to pray, which they didn't. This kind only comes out by prayer. Prayer is how we renounce self-sufficiency and rely on Christ's sufficiency. Prayer is how we overcome doubts. So how can we apply this message? What are some action steps we can take? In your notes, you'll see the space for action steps if you want to take them out. It's there at the bottom. Number one, I'd encourage you to go to the When God's People Pray class. It started recently, but you'll love all that Pastor Cimbala from Brooklyn Tabernacle will share about prayer. It's at 9 a.m. in the Oasis. The web tile has all the details, just something to consider. Two, I tell you, dream big. So what I want you to do right now is write down on your notes or the bulletin or your sermon insert one thing you have not asked God to do because you doubted his ability and his willingness to do. I'll give you time to write it down. One thing you have not prayed about because you doubted God's ability or willingness to do it. Then number three, I'm going to ask you to commit to praying for 10 minutes a day this week about that doubt in your life, that circumstance that seems impossible. 10 minutes a day this week. Chuck Swindoll said, faith is believing in advance what can only be understood in reverse. Ask God to do the impossible and keep praying. David Wilkerson said, the hardest part of faith is the last half hour. Along with prayer, I'd encourage you to spend time in the Bible since Romans tells us that faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Romans 10:17. Number four, take a tangible step of faith this week that shows you're renouncing self-sufficiency and trusting in Christ's sufficiency. You still take a step, but you trust God to open up that door or change the situation. So send out that resume. Sign up for eHarmony. Pray for that wayward child. Invite that unbeliever to coffee or to church. Go to marriage counseling. Pray for God to do the impossible, but take a step of faith. I mean, the man asked Jesus to do the impossible, but he brought his son to Jesus. Imagine what God could do in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our city, if we all took a step of faith like this week. If we all asked God to do the impossible, and we took some kind of tangible step. Number five, reflect on how God has been faithful to you in the past. That can dispel doubts. I told you earlier about how sometimes I have doubts about God protecting my children. One day I was thinking about all the ways God protected me in my childhood, as a new believer in college living in New York City. God protected me in many, many ways, spiritually, physically, mentally. And after I thought about that, I started praying, God, protect my children as you protected me. You protected me from so many potential pitfalls. Please do the same for my children. And my doubts began to dissolve into my faith as I remembered God's faithfulness. Faith renounces self-sufficiency and relies on Christ's sufficiency through prayer. Doubt gives way to faith when we pray. Last week, I took the boys fishing on Mount Lemmon at Rose Canyon Pond, lake. It was a lot of fun. It's just relaxing to go up there and unplug from work because there's no cell service up there. Well, as we were fishing, we had a lot of bites. Tons of bites, but never caught anything. We were there fishing for 3 hours, but never caught one fish. We tried snagging the fish. Nothing worked. Then I look over and I see Isaiah and Joshua praying. They're holding their pole saying, Jesus, please bring us a fish. Jesus, please help us catch a fish, Jesus. And they were serious. I figure that's a pretty good prayer, because if there's one thing you see Jesus doing in the Bible, it's helping his disciples catch fish. I mean, right? Right? Matthew 17, Luke 5, John 21. And I told them about praying for God's help when we went fishing a few weeks before that at Lakeside Swamp, Park. But on Mount Lemmon, I was kind of convicted that my kids prayed and I didn't. Then Joshua asked me to cast the line with his fishing pole because he wanted to get a drink or something. So I kept fishing and we still caught nothing. Isaiah's fishing, but he was having some doubts. He had prayed, but then when we didn't catch anything for a bit, he said, we're never going to catch a fish. Now, granted, he's 7 years old. We've been there for over 3 hours. He's having doubts. So I said to him, Isaiah, I was just reading in the Bible that Jesus said all things are possible to him who believes. I said, Isaiah, you just prayed that Jesus would help you. Don't doubt so soon. Have patience. Have faith. Keep believing. Then after a while, it dawned on me that if God was going to answer the prayer, he probably wouldn't answer it while I was fishing, since Joshua prayed. So I said, Joshua, why don't you take the fishing pole back? You prayed. You cast the line. So Joshua cast the line, and I kid you not, 5 seconds later, the line goes down, and Joshua reels in a fish. The boys were so excited, they started yelling, thank you, Jesus, for everyone to hear. The whole lake heard. And Joshua said, I prayed to Jesus because Jesus is my friend and Jesus helped me. Well, I took a picture of Isaiah showing how big the fish was. Then I took a picture of the boys showing some people the fish. It was a decent sized trout and we ate it that night. So after fishing for hours without a catch, we had doubts. But the boys prayed, and they asked God for help. Now, sometimes God answers yes, sometimes God answers no, sometimes God changes us instead of the situation, but God's always faithful to answer. We tried for hours in our own strength, but by the end of the day, the boys learned the lesson of Mark 9. Faith asks God to do what we can't do. Faith renounces self-sufficiency and relies on Christ's sufficiency through prayer. Why? So that he gets all the glory. So don't doubt, pray. The fog of doubt will fade away and the light of faith will shine through when you pray. Heavenly Father, we all struggle with doubts. Help us to remember that prayer is one way that our faith can be strengthened. Give us the grace we need to bring our doubts to you, to ask you to do the impossible and to rely on your sufficiency through prayer. We're weak, but you are strong. We don't want to lean on our own understanding. We want to trust in you. We don't want to be like the disciples who relied on their own strength. We want to rely on you. We don't want to be half full of faith and half full of doubts like the boy's father. We want you to help us with our unbelief through prayer so that we walk by faith each day. And when we feel that tug of war between faith and doubt, help us to remember Jesus' call to pray. We thank you for our risen Savior and his grace in our weakness, his blood which covers our doubts. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit who helps us doubt less and believe more. May we be doers of the word and take a step of faith this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening today. We hope that today's message was challenging and encouraging for you. Gospel Centered Living is a ministry of Christ Community Church Tucson and is edited from Pastor Stephen Gino's weekly teachings. To hear current and past messages, you can find our free sermon podcast, as well as streaming audio, on our website, www.ccctucson.org. Christ Community Church is a gospel-centered church focused on worship, expository preaching, biblical teaching, authentic community, intentional discipleship for the whole family, and spreading the message of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ around the world to the glory of God. If you'd like to visit Christ Community Church, we're located between Broadway and 22nd Street on Pantano Road. Our address is 7801 East Kenyon Drive, 85710. We offer hundreds of ministries each week to serve and encourage you and your whole family. Service times are 9 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. each Sunday. Gospel-Centered Living is a listener-supported radio outreach made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you'd like to support this ministry as we spread God's Word, we ask that after giving to your local church, you give your donation online through the Radio Fund on the giving page at ccctucson.org. Or you can send a check to 7801 East Kenyon Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85710, made out to Christ Community Church. Just write radio in the memo line and we'll send you a receipt. With every donation of $25 or more, we'll send you an MP3 copy of Pastor Steve's 18-part series on spiritual growth, which includes messages from the Sermon on the Mount, John's Gospel, 1 Peter, Psalms, Romans, the Book of Revelation, and more. If you're looking for a church home, we hope to meet you when you visit Christ Community Church, and we pray that God's grace and peace will be yours now and forever. Until we meet again, stay in the Word, and may God richly bless you as you live a gospel-centered life.